Welcome to Uncle Bob's Magic Cabinet, a mother-daughter podcast about all things magic and mythology and pop culture. Well, hello.
Hello.
Hello. We're back with another Be Kind Rewind.
Yeah, so exciting.
I just woke up from a nap, and why do I feel like my voice is like 10 octaves lower? I got that sexy, sultry nap voice going on.
Nice.
Hey, Laura, why'd we pick this Be Kind Rewind?
Hey, you know what? A lot of people have been asking us to talk about Bob Lazar.
Yeah, we actually get this requested a lot. And I'm like, hey, motherfuckers, we already talked about him.
Yeah, but that was way back.
Yeah, this was like, oh my gosh, going on 3 years ago at this point. So I'm sure we could do, you know, a part two. I'm sure there is more information
that has come to light.
Ooh. I do remember liking this episode a whole lot. Yes.
Hilarious.
I feel like Fact Check Jake.
Hey, Fact Check Jake was on fire in this episode. Yeah. And I know everybody's missing him big time.
Yeah, we needed our Fact Check Jake fix.
So you know what? On fire.
On fire. There you go. So you know what? Enjoy. Enjoy the chaos. Learn about Bob Lazar. And you know what? House of Wax is always a fucking good time.
I mean, what more can you say? Paris Hilton and Jared Padalecki.
You know what? What a combo. You forgot about Chad Michael Mayer. I don't know why I said it.
I mean, that goes without saying.
Man, I miss recording. We're on break and I'm like, wow, I miss this. Get me back in here.
Here we go.
We hope you're enjoying our break. We are
getting lots of rest.
Yes, we are. Until then, enjoy this Be Kind Rewind, friends.
Yes.
And we're on. Hey, everyone. I'm Liam, the daughter.
Hey, I'm Laura. I'm the mom.
What's going on?
What's happening?
Nothing. Good morning. You look radiant today.
Do I?
Yeah.
So do you with your new glasses.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, guys. I got new glasses after like 15 years. I did it. I finally made it. I'm feeling good.
I mean, you know, the other ones were like, had tape on them.
Oh my gosh. They were hanging by a thread. I was finally like, you know what? I think it's time.
I'm going to splurge.
That's the most adult move I've made in the last few years. Oh my goodness.
I love it.
What's going on with you?
Nothing.
No. We have a fun topic to talk about this
morning.
Do we? Yeah, because we were chatting the other day, and even though you just bold-faced tried to lie to me,
right?
You had a crush on someone. I'm going to say had. I think it has passed, and now we can discuss.
Oh, so now we can talk about it.
Now we can discuss. Okay. But you're like, I didn't have a crush.
I'm like,
who do you think I am? And you're going to look at me and try to lie? Excuse me. No.
Uh-huh.
But it got us talking because normally when Laura, and I don't know if we've talked about this before, normally when Laura has a crush on someone, the way I know instantly is because she comes to me and says, I think I'm going to make this person a gift basket. I feel like we've touched on this a little, but we're really going to go.
Oh, Leanne, you're laying my shit bare.
Hey, you told me I could. You gave me the green light. So yes, I am going to lay it bare.
Okay.
So talk to me about this. Talk to me about your history with baskets. What's the deal?
Hey, I love a gift basket.
You do?
I love to give them. I love to get them. Mm-hmm. I love gift baskets. I mean, they're just so fun. It's like a gift within a gift within a gift.
It just keeps giving. Right. And it's
always themed.
You love a theme.
Always themed. But I just feel like specifically, like even when you guys were younger, a gift basket is a good way to, you know, like when you don't have a ton of money to like give a smattering of things.
Okay.
Get creative. Put your own touch on it, make it beautiful,
right,
and you know, make it meaningful,
right?
I think it just like pours a lot of yourself, like you know, I just love a gift basket. I am a great gift basket maker. I could open a business.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, you're gonna do like
Uncle gift baskets
Bob's,
by Lore,
Uncle Bob's baskets. Oh no,
Lonely Hearts Basket Club.
Oh, shut up, Jake.
Oh, burn. Boom, roasted.
Fact check, Jake just roasted me.
He did. I love when he comes in with the roast just out of nowhere. Do you know what my favorite basket of yours was?
Oh, my God. What was it?
I can't even say it.
Was it the Irish?
It was... It's the Ireland basket.
Oh my gosh.
She had a crush on this guy that was from Ireland.
Cork.
Okay.
He's from Cork.
Right. And so what was her response? To make him a gift basket as if he's never been there.
He was away from home and he was feeling sad.
Oh, that's
now,
sweet.
If I left Ireland.
Yeah.
And landed in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. And was far away from my home.
You'd be sad too.
I would be super sad.
You're right. You're right.
You know. I was like, it was St. Patty's Day.
Oh no.
Okay. I mean,
we really went with the theme.
I did well because I cooked. You know, I love to cook Irish food.
You did, yeah.
So I made like some traditional Irish food.
Oh
and,
my goodness.
Oh, yeah. You know, some Irish chocolate.
Wow.
Yeah.
Someone wife her up. Like, literally.
You know, in return, I was hoping for some roof thatching. I don't know.
Right. And it didn't happen.
I've been rejected so many times. I just, like...
You have. So,
You know, it's no wonder I don't keep stepping up to the plate.
Stop. Stop. You're going to find your cancer roof thatcher. Now you have a whole, like, you know, there's so many people out there trying to find the perfect mate for you.
Gosh.
But like every time you come to me and you're like, I think I'm going to make a basket. I'm like, honey.
You always tell me, no.
Let's talk.
Let's discuss. Stop right there. And usually in my mind,
right.
Honestly,
yeah.
It's like a friendship basket.
Oh, Laura, I like that.
And Lee is like, no.
Well, you think it's a friendship basket. It is very clearly like, hey, are you down to clown basket? Right. There are some subtle, subtle tones of like, it's on if you want it to be on.
But I'm never going to come out and tell you that.
This is as far as I'm going to take it, is this basket. And the rest is on you.
Oh my gosh, it's funny because he was an Aries.
Oh, you love Aries.
I do, because they're right. Initiators.
Right, right, right. It didn't work out that time. But, right? You know, hey, maybe like... Have we discussed this? Maybe a Cancer sun with an Aries moon.
Ooh, two Aries moons.
I like this. That would be trouble, but fun trouble. Fun, emotionally vulnerable trouble.
I'm not really good at that.
Oh my gosh. So we just wanted to share that with you. She did not make a basket. Jake calls that improvement.
Yes.
With this latest crush. You were like, no, I've moved past this.
There will be no baskets.
Progress, friends.
But if in the future you receive a basket from me, know that it's in friendship.
No, it's on.
Because I've progressed.
It's on. Go buy some candles. Go buy some incense. Let's get it popping. Okay? Oh my gosh. All right.
That would be terrible if I have given a relative a basket.
Well, that goes without saying that that's a different That's a family basket.
Okay. So it's different.
No, you don't need to specify that that's a friendship.
A family basket. It sounds like a KFC item.
Yo.
Oh, shit. I'm going to need category breakdowns.
You are. We're going to need to Virgo this, and we're going to need a spreadsheet of, like, what does this basket mean?
I need a list.
We need to start including notes. Say, like, hey. Don't get the wrong idea here. This is a family basket.
You know, one of the interesting though, like when we did, I think a while back we did What Lies Beneath.
Yeah.
Love that movie. You know
did
what
you make
I love?
A What Lies Beneath basket?
No, but you know what I love about that movie?
What?
She makes a gift basket to take to the steamer. And I'm like.
She was trying to be nippy.
No, she was trying to be friendly.
And nippy.
And I'm like, what's in that basket? Like, that's what I wanted to know. What is in that basket?
Would someone give Laura a basket, please? Oh, I'm going to make you a basket for your birthday. A family basket.
Because guess what? My birthday's coming up.
Your birthday's coming up. What is it going to be next week? We're going to have our Laura's birthday episode? Oh my goodness, how exciting.
Cool.
This is going to be a weird one.
Yeah.
I am talking about Bob Lazar.
Ooh.
Ooh.
No relation?
No relation, maybe. I don't know. It would make a whole hell of a lot of sense.
It would. It would.
If you didn't know, my maiden name and your last name is Lazar.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But I always get called Lazar.
You like to pronounce it Lazar. You like to add a little spice.
I add a little spice.
I say Lazar, Lazar, whatever. So maybe, I don't know, he's like a long-lost relative. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But the documentary, so the piece of pop culture that we're going to focus on is Bob Lazar, Area 51 and flying saucers. Now, the reason I'm doing this, we all know I love sci-fi, and I've been in a kick.
Yeah, okay, sci-fi.
Like I said, Lane. If you're sick of it, that fucking sucks. I'm going to still do it, okay? But this specifically, this topic, was recommended by a follower, Kelly Astrain, okay? Mm-hmm. And they wanted to know if I thought Bob Lazar was legit or not legit.
Okay.
Okay. And so we're going to dive into this.
Okay.
So the documentary I just mentioned, 2018.
Okay.
Not rated. Bummer. Started doing my ratings. Jeez, and this one's not rated.
This one isn't.
Written and directed by Jeremy Corbell and narrated by Mickey Rourke. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
You're like, okay, I'm interested.
Mickey Rourke. All right.
All right. So here are some key terms. Bob Lazar and Area 51. So I'm going to break down the two.
Okay.
Because I didn't know anything about this. I think because when this came out, because the last names were the same, everyone under the fucking sun was like, Lee, oh my God, you love aliens too, and you have to watch this. And you know, if too many people tell me to do something, I simply won't do it.
Exactly.
I won't. I can't help it.
And we know I don't know anything about it because I call it Area 54, thinking it's Club 54 from the 70s. But hey, okay, go.
There's a lot of crossing things there that I think we could make something happen, like a club that's alien-themed.
That's a mashup.
Yes, let's put that in the back burner. Okay, so who is Bob Lazar? He is considered to be an American conspiracy theorist, born on January 26, 1959 in Florida. An Aquarius.
And just 2 days away from your birthday.
I know, but like this is the episode of the Aquarius love. I love it. But it makes total sense,
yes,
right? Because we are notorious. We are notoriously the conspiracy theorists. He currently owns a scientific supply company. And also I have to note that he really fucking looks like Stephen King. Like time I see him, I'm like, is that Stephen King?
Oh my gosh, really?
Yes. Like fact check, Jake, pull up a picture. Like legitimately, it kind of freaks me out while he's doing that. Area 51. So the documentary starts by saying it all started in the desert just north of Las Vegas.
Ooh, Las Vegas. Ooh.
Yeah, tell me that motherfucker does not look like Stephen King.
Yes, yes.
Everyone go Google him immediately if you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. So, Area 51 refers to a location and or area, whatever, in Nevada at Groom Lake, a dry lake in the desert. You guessed it, north of Las Vegas.
North, yes.
Right. More importantly, it has now come to represent a highly classified United States Air Force base. Area 51. No one really knows what goes on inside. It's like the Willy Wonka chocolate factory. Nobody ever goes in.
Nobody ever goes out.
Like, no one fucking knows what's going on. However, it is believed around 1,500 people work there.
What?
I know. I thought that was wild. I was like, really?
Where do they live?
I don't know. No, I think we'll get into that a little bit. Obviously, you can't get close to it. There's armed guards, surveillance, etc. It is also illegal to fly over Area 51, military and civilian.
Really?
I did not know that. Makes sense. Hmm. I have a whole link that I'll put, you know, on our website of like places you can't fly.
Really?
I know. I was like, whoa, and this is one of them.
That's weird.
It makes it a little more creepy. Cue the, you know, like, like Fox Mulder is like, hello. Yeah. Also, if you watch The X-Files, Area 51 pops up all the time, obviously. The airspace over Area 51 is often considered to be more restricted than that of Washington, D.C.
What?
Again, with the, this is where you kind of have to fucking wonder. So the area's existence was officially acknowledged by the CIA only in 2013. That's mind-blowing. And Obama also acknowledged its existence, making him the first sitting president to publicly do so.
Ooh, okay.
And I think it was also in like 2013, so that is not that long ago.
No.
All right. What or who put Area 51 on the pop culture map?
The X-Files.
Oh my God. Bob Lazar.
Oh, Bob Lazar did.
Lore is not following me. Nope, not following me.
More coffee. And
oh my gosh. I know. She's like, The X-Files. You were so close.
I don't know.
Oh my. That too. That too. Okay, so here is the rundown. The documentary immediately gets into the spooky alien UFO government conspiracy talk. So, all of my friends out there that like this shit, go check it out.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we are somewhat introduced to Bob, who says that the FBI is coming to raid his house. Okay, so it kind of starts like we're trying to figure out why this is going on. Up pops the title, Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers, and we're off to the races.
Okay.
Obviously kicking off at Area 51 in Nevada. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Wear numerous top secret weapons, go to get tested, and where believers think that the government is actually hiding evidence of extraterrestrials.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay. I wonder if Jimmy Hoff is there.
Oh, well, my God. She is so concerned. It might have been a Patreon-only bonus video where Jake asked us the question, if you could solve one thing, like one unanswered thing in the world, she said, where is Jimmy Hoffa? And I was like, really? That's what you want to know? I'm talking about aliens. And she's like, I wonder if Jimmy Hoffa is there.
I'm fixated.
I'm fixated? Okay, she has to know.
It's Virgo.
Yeah, for real. Okay, so in 1989, Bob Lazar does an anonymous TV interview under the name Dennis, and his face is like hidden.
Okay.
Saying that he worked as a scientist / physicist. Here is where I will say there's a lot of fucking science talking here, and we all know. Should I be talking about science? Absolutely not, but I'm going to try, and I'm probably going to fuck it up.
Give it the old college go.
All right. So he worked as a scientist at a site called S4 near Area 51.
Okay.
And he is very, like, clear. He wants it to be known, not technically Area 51, S4.
Okay.
Okay? He said that there were 9 flying saucers of extraterrestrial origin being tested and analyzed right there in Nevada.
Hmm.
Okay? And that there is no way it is man-made because it is simply too advanced.
Just interesting.
Simply wouldn't work.
This is where he worked.
Yes, at S4.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He said that he only knows certain pieces of information, and he can't prove it because he would then have to reveal his identity, because remember, at this point, he's incognito.
Right.
Which would be bad, as he's already been threatened by the United States government.
Ooh. I didn't know they threatened. I thought they just...
You know,
took care
I think
of business.
It said, like, his tires were slashed, like, later on, and his wife was, you know...
Brake lines were cut. I see.
Exactly. Right. Again, very X-Files.
Yeah.
However, the interview saw international attention. So he ends up revealing himself to be Robert Lazar. So he must not have been that fucking scared. He's like, okay, I'll come out. No.
It's me.
It's me. Just kidding.
It's Bob.
It is not. What did he fucking say his name was?
Dennis.
Dennis. I'm not Dennis. I'm Bob. Oh, my God. And he began just giving more details.
Uh-huh.
So Bobby says he was hired by the U.S. Navy to work with flying saucers and antimatter. Oh, boy. Antimatter? Antimatter. I don't know.
I think it's antimatter,
get the point. Reactors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to pretend to know what an antimatter reactor is.
Right.
I don't fucking know. Do you?
Mm-hmm. No,
okay.
I don't.
Jake?
No.
Okay. I was going to try to help everyone out, but...
Well, everything in the known universe is composed of matter, right? So it's just the opposite, which I suppose theoretically right now we have no idea what that would look like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jake, that sounded very
good. Yes, I was like,
very good.
Go with that. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, the goal was to figure out the science of this alien technology to be able to reverse engineer... Mm-hmm. The alien spacecraft.
Okay.
So it was, he said it was a scientist's dream and he absolutely loved it, but then it kind of started getting creepy.
Okay.
And I read somewhere, so there's a lot of like information, but I can't tell, like, I think because it is involved in a conspiracy theory, there's like kind of stuff going everywhere. But I read that he was eventually fired from the base because he tried to sneak friends in to watch UFOs.
Also, oh, my gosh.
Also me.
I would have liked to have been on that guest list.
Right? That's what I'm like. I totally would have done that. Like, fuck, I'm going to get fired. I don't care. You guys got to come see this shit.
I'm related.
Exactly. I can get in. Also, now is a good time to say that there is a 2-hour-long interview with Bob Lazar and Joe Rogan that he did right around the time this documentary came out.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot stand Joe Rogan. I tried to listen to it. I got like 5 minutes in. I just can't do it. So there's probably there's probably lots more information out there. If you can do it, go to town.
Go for it.
Okay. He says that his motivation to come forward is because it's a slap in the face of the scientific community to suppress extremely advanced technology. And that there is another intelligent civilization in existence that we know about and that can change the way the entire world operates.
Okay.
So that it is not cool to withhold that information
from
scientists and the public.
Right.
Okay, and that's why he has decided to come out.
Okay.
So the whole situation takes the world by storm. People were buying Area 51 swag, people started flooding there, tons of media coverage, etc., and it is considered to be what really put Area 51 on the map. And then the X-Files. followed it up a few years later.
I was thinking, you said Area 51 swag, and I was like just envisioning like a Vans Warped Tour outside of Area 51, literally, like selling.
If
you,
go and look at pictures, there's like t-shirts that's like Area 51, you know, consult team. Like, I don't know, it was fucking bonkers.
Wonder how close they could have got the tents.
Probably not very fucking close.
I'm two towns down. Come get your swag.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so here are some other random details that he let slip that I couldn't figure out how to, like, mesh in. So I'm just going to, like, let it rip and let it ride. All right. He said that there was a hand scanner used to get into S4.
Okay.
That measures the bones in your fingers.
What?
And this was confirmed by pictures last night when I was watching the documentary.
Really?
Yes, it's like this kind of like a fingerprint scanner, but it's more advanced and it reads your bone length, which is apparently specific to each individual. So it's like even more secure and high tech.
Well, then how the hell did he sneak friends in?
He was just sitting on the lawn. I don't know. I made that up. I really don't fucking know. If it was me, I would go take lawn seats, you know?
You know, like the episode of The X-Files with Seth Green?
Yeah, where they were like chilling outside and looking up at the sky. That's what I envision anyway. That's where they got the inspo.
Wow.
Ooh. He said that the nickname on the base for the aliens were the kids, which creeps me out. I don't like that. He said that there is a lot of stuff in the scientific community that we are not allowed to know about.
I wonder why.
I don't know. Maybe it would freak us out. I don't need to know some stuff, you know? No, just kidding. I need to know everything.
It was just going to say, who are you talking to?
I know, now I'm trying to boldface lie to you. You don't know me. Okay, he did mention alien cadavers in Little Gray Men.
Okay.
So kind of the stereotypical shtick there. He said when you asked where they lived. They must have lived outside, and because he said the workers would gather, fly to Groom Lake, and then would board a windowless bus that would then drive to S4. So, like, it was, that's what he said.
Wow.
Right.
Top secret.
Top secret. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said the building sloped weirdly, and it looked like sand because it was made to look like it blended in with the mountain so that you couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. Also creepy. Lots of talk about UFOs. Here's where I'm going to get sciencey. Let me lift my glasses very smartly.
Can you imagine, though, just what it would... I'm sorry. My brain
you
is like...
You took down my smart moment. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, like, what it would take to create something like that blended into the mountain.
I know. Seriously? I think that, like, we're all very naive to the shit that goes on.
I think so. Yeah. Yes.
Maybe I don't need to peek behind the curtain, but again, I'm going to spend my life trying to peek behind the curtain because I am Fox Mulder. And apparently Bob Lazar. My gosh. Okay, so UFOs. He talked about field propulsion crafts that creates a distortion of space and time in front of it. So, like, the UFO bends space and time.
Okay.
And that's how it travels. Sciencey, way over my head, but he, like, explains it in the documentary and he draws, like, little diagrams.
Okay.
And it seems to make sense. But this is how the UFO hovers and moves.
Okay.
So, further on that, he claimed that the UFOs he studied were fueled by the chemical element 115, which at the time was an unknown element.
Okay,
so an alien element.
Mm-hmm.
It's fuel, it affects gravity, it produces its own gravitational whatever energy. I don't fucking know, Mom.
Gravitational pull.
Yes. Sounds smart. Thank you. It's wild, and the code name for this element was LA-1000.
Okay.
The thing is, it is believed that Bob Lazar snuck some of this 115 element out of the base and has it.
No.
And supposedly that's why, like, they were raiding his house and stuff. I know. It gets bonkers, Mom.
Dude, I think they would have just taken this dude out.
You have to wonder.
But then he becomes a martyr.
Ooh. Okay, yeah, so me and Jake are going to, I'm going to involve fact check Jake here in a minute because he, you know him, he's got some thoughts on this too.
Yeah, right.
But this gets bonkers. I really do, like, go and watch documentary. It wasn't that well made, but it was still, you know, or if you can stomach the Joe Rogan interview or just any interviews with this guy because he he seems to know what he's talking about. And maybe because I don't know science, I'm like, yes, I immediately believe you. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, right. You must know because I don't.
If I found a rare element that was alien, I'd probably try to take some home and see what was up with it too. You know, like I can't be mad.
I know, like Madame Curie. Okay.
Right.
I'm going to sleep with this.
Oh, God. Okay. So, yes, the SWAT team raided, you know, from the beginning. Mm-hmm. They were apparently raiding his house to look for this 115.
Mm-hmm.
And private conversations from this documentary and their interviews, like very private, were mentioned in this raid. So like they're obviously watching him, or that's what we're being told.
Mm-hmm.
They went through all of his computer equipment. Like they were like fucking going to town. And he said there were like a shit ton of people there. I don't know. It seems odd, doesn't it?
Is he the basis of the Lone Gunman?
I feel like there's a lot of influence in the X-Files. Yeah, which is, again, why I'm glad that I, like, just now discovered it, because it's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. That he says that that's all he knows, okay? That's all he knows. All of that fucking shit.
I've given it all to you.
Okay, so that's kind of the gist of Bob Lazar.
Mm-hmm.
So here are the issues that some people have with his story. Many non-believers and skeptics constantly try to poke holes in his story. The biggest issue seems to be in confirming his credentials before he came out and did this interview in 1989. So he claimed he has degrees from various schools like MIT and Caltech, but this cannot be verified. Like the schools are saying there's no record of anyone by that name that has ever gone here.
Mm-hmm.
S4 handed him info and briefings really quickly. Like he said, like he got hired and he was just learning about aliens and UFOs. And that seems like that is a little fishy. Yeah.
Did you send in an Indeed app? I mean, how does one apply for a job like that?
I don't know. I think that's what he was trying to talk about at the beginning of the Jay Rogue interview. Okay. But I was like,
I'm out.
I don't know. Someone else can figure that out. There is a lot of repeated speech, which me and Jake noticed. And this could be an issue or it could lend to his credibility. And I don't know which one. But he says, like, in the interviews from, like, the 80s, early 90s, okay? And then you have interviews from today.
Right.
Verbatim. He says the exact same shit. And it's, like, weird. Like Jake said, weird details that, like, you'd think would be delivered in a slightly different way.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And so that to me is a little suspicious, like it's rehearsed or practiced or like a script.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's now get into why maybe he's credible.
Okay.
Okay. So he said that before working at S4, he worked at the Los Alamos lab.
Okay.
Okay. Officials said they had no record of him ever working there, kind of like the school. And this was part of the issue. But a company directory listing his name and number from that time period shows otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they were lying.
Yeah.
He did work there.
Well, I would imagine they would have erased everything about him.
Yeah. So that's kind of, we're going to get to what I think is going on here, and that's part of it. He knew about things that were not public information. That was a big part of the documentary. Like, certain things he just wouldn't have known that have now been confirmed.
Confirmed and verified,
He wouldn't have been, like, how would he have known
that?
Again, the story has not changed. So while it's kind of suspicious, it's also like, well, maybe just the story hasn't changed.
Right.
I don't know. This is a very weird one, but let me see if you understand.
Okay.
He wears very specific science t-shirts that only real scientists would wear.
Oh my gosh.
Like the weirdest, nerdiest fucking science t-shirts.
Yeah.
I'm like, who would own those?
And where do you get them?
Where do you get them?
Right.
That's what I said. How would he know where to get those? That's why I'm like, I immediately trust you. I know you're a scientist.
It's a secret code because for you super
have,
geeky scientists.
Because you have a NASA shirt.
Right.
You are a scientist. Oh, my God. He did. This is something I read that I couldn't confirm elsewhere, so I don't know. He did apparently show a W-2 form from the Department of Naval Intelligence, but that's also questioned.
Weird, right?
Also weird.
Mm-hmm.
He tried hypnosis to recall what happened and to prove it. Like, he's not... He doesn't shy away. That's also why it's like, okay, well, why wouldn't he be like, you'd think he'd be a little more cautious. No, he's like, I'll do hypnosis. He passed a lot of polygraph tests.
Okay.
He has done a ton of drawings of what he says he saw. And like I said, some are confirmed with pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. He is not happy about any of this.
Okay.
Because he says that it completely wrecked his life.
Oh, I'm sure.
And that nobody believed or believes him.
Right.
He's like, he is literally Fox Mulder.
Right,
if he went down the fucking rabbit hole.
Yeah.
He feels people are getting distracted by trying to prove him wrong, that they are missing the bigger point.
Missing the bigger picture.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
There's hidden shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wake up, smell the coffee. Hello.
Yeah, yeah.
So here are my thoughts. Something is going down at Area 51.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's like we all fucking know that something is going down there.
Right.
All right. I think that we've talked about this many times. If you want more on like aliens, I think in the Signs episode, I've talked about aliens before. I obviously believe that aliens are out there. Okay. Yeah. But some people do believe that this was all orchestrated by the government to control this narrative and hide some kind of real truth.
Like,
and I'm starting to like lean towards that. Like it, I don't think he's lying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But something is like.
Like alien is code word, like fat man and little boy, like we just talked about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like something. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it was too easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like you walk in and they're like, yeah, here's all of like this hidden shit that like we keep really locked down. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you the second you step into it. Like that doesn't seem right to me.
Bring your friends in and here's your W-2.
Right. Right. Here's your W-2 for dissecting that alien brain that we've like that just doesn't seem.
But we've erased all of your credentials and schools and jobs up until this point.
Or I think that he is telling the truth and everything is completely as he said, and they're trying to like wipe it. So I think obviously something bigger is going on. Fact check, Jake, this is where I tap you in. What do you think?
I think that all they're doing at Area 51 is coming up with new and exciting ways to murder people.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I think, you know, just the government figuring out nuclear weaponry and just, like I said, crazy exciting ways to kill folks.
You think that's all?
I mean, I'm sure there's some wild shit going on too, but
I think
as far as Bob Lazar, I do think it's strange that he's describing the events using the exact same diction. I mean, like to the letter, 30 years later, that's super weird. But my working theory is that this whole thing is a grand experiment by the U.S. government. So they pick an intelligent, affable, quirky guy, like someone the average American might find trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
They show this guy some wild shit, knowing that ethically he can't keep his mouth shut.
Okay.
And then they study the public's reaction to see how they can better control populations' reactions to like sensitive information, like in practice too, not just in theory.
We're going to start calling Jake Silent Jake. He doesn't say much. He's like Silent Bob.
He literally, and then when he comes out, that's a Gemini for you. He's like the smartest man I know, but like legitimately.
I don't say much.
That's terrifying. Yeah. I'm terrified. That scares me more almost. I don't know.
My mind is blown.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ponder this. I'm going to have to go and sit by the window and stare
Jake,
into the abyss for a while.
I don't say much, but when I do,
I'm going to drop a bomb. Oh, my gosh. So that is Bob Lazar. I do have some randos, some random facts. The editing of the documentary, it's really bad. It's bad.
They should have hired Fact Check Jake.
Yeah, obviously. Shit. Mickey Rourke's narrations were... for the most part, really annoying and unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Lots of cool interviews with other people involved, old clips, interviews, photos of Area 51, et cetera. Like I said, you can see the swag. Now it is my life's mission to get, like...
some swag.
But, like, vintage. Like, I want the fucking OG. 1989 Bob Lazar Area 51 swag.
Yes.
It's like a time capsule, that documentary.
Yes.
So in that way, it was very cool. Like I said, Bob Lazar.
Bob Lazar.
How many different ways?
Bobby.
How many different ways can we say that last name?
Bobby Newport.
Bobby Lazar. Shit. The Joe Rogan interview. Have fun if you want. I said yuck. That's what I said. If you do recall, in 2019, I believe people did try to storm Area 51, or there was like that weird fucking meme. I don't know. That was funny, but it like it pops back up in pop culture a lot. I will have a ton of articles and the documentary linked on our website for you to go and form your own conclusion.
Yes.
So thank you to our friend, Kelly, for recommending this because I thought it was fascinating.
That is fascinating. I didn't know anything about that.
Is it cool?
Yeah,
what do you think? Now I want your opinion.
You know, I love a conspiracy theory.
Right?
I have many friends who...
I believe them a little quickly, I won't lie.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
Like I said,
because
his science t-shirt...
Wow. Yeah.
His science t-shirt. And I was like, I immediately trust you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a lot more going on.
Right.
I mean, time and time again, we you know, things eke out and we're like, oh, wow, who would have known? You know?
Right, right, right.
So I do think there's so many things behind the scenes going on that we don't know about. And,
I'm sure
know.
With due time, someone else will come out and be a whistleblower. I don't know.
Maybe.
Fun.
Well, that's an interesting thought, though. Has no one else ever?
No. This was all I found. What I presented to you was the majority of what I found. And I spent a few days on this sucker. And
And so no one corroborated.
I did see somewhere.
What's the word?
I was just going to try to ignore you doing that. I'm not going to try to help you. I'm just going to walk past it. Again, with the information was a little tricky to navigate, but I did see somewhere that I think someone came out and said, yeah, he did work here. Like, I worked there too. Mm-hmm, or some, there have been a few of like those.
Okay.
But overall.
Bob, you're flying solo.
Yeah. You are on your own, Bob.
Oh, no.
Well, that was a fun one.
That was. Yeah. That was so interesting.
Very interesting. Very creepy. I need to go watch The X-Files. Yes. And do like it. I said, stare into the abyss and ponder.
Ponder.
Yes.
What does it all mean?
Yes. Where is Jimmy Hoffa?
The bigger question.
Area 51.
Oh, my God. Fuck. That would be fucking wild, though, right?
Yeah.
What if you just walked into Area 51 and it was, like, all of the world's, like, biggest secrets answered?
Wow. Elvis is there.
Oh, my God. There we go again. There we go. And Tupac. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, it's your turn.
All right, so I'm up.
You're up.
Okay, so what I am doing today is the House of Wax.
Ooh, this is one of our favorites.
One of our favorites.
Getting spooky.
Getting spooky. All right, so 1953.
Okay, going to Ridge.
Horror.
Okay.
/ mystery film.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Starring the one and only Vincent Price.
Gotta mention it. Gotta mention it. Yeah.
My favorite, which was a remake of a 1933 film called Mystery of the Wax Museum.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Vincent plays Professor Henry Jarrod, a sculptor who becomes disfigured when his wax museum is destroyed by a fire. He then begins to rebuild his dream by murdering people.
It seems legit.
And using their bodies, now covered in wax.
It is a spooky premise, man.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
To create statues of the most prominent figures of the day. So, is this the movie we're going to talk about today?
I don't know.
No.
Are you talking about the remake?
No, it's not.
Please tell me you're talking about the fucking no.
I am going to talk about the 2005 remake.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
So now the 1953 is, of course, my favorite Vincent Price movie.
Right, it is
and,
a good one.
And we know I love Vincent Price, but this movie.
Oh, the remake.
You know, it's just so bad
that it's so good.
Mm-hmm. And it's gonna be a fun ride.
We love.
It's gonna be funny.
We love an early 2000s cheesy horror flick around here.
We do. I mean, there's just gonna be so many good jokes here.
Right.
All right, so with no further ado.
Yes, please. I cannot wait.
Here's 2005's. House of Wax.
Fuck yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Genre. Slasher.
Okay.
So we had said the original was just like a horror.
A mystery.
But this is a slasher.
It just went. It went full force.
Jumped.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is very loosely based on the previous mentioned titles, right?
Yes. Yes.
So literally, when I say loosely based, I mean, besides the title. And that the setting happens to be a wax museum.
Hey.
That's about as far
some connections.
As the similarities go.
Hey, be nice.
All right, so $40 million dollar budget did $70.1
million. Is that good or bad?
The reviews from critics were generally negative, specifically for lack of originality. Screenplay.
Really? Horror community? You want to fucking go there? This is going to be a half an hour of me defending this movie.
This says from critics.
Okay.
And just the characters in general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But over the years has become a cult classic.
See? Don't question me.
Right?
Yeah.
So here is your cast.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Chad Michael Murray.
We love to see it.
He plays Nick.
Welcome.
And shout out to Chad, because he and I have the same birthday.
You do, your birthday twins.
We're both August 24th.
It's so cute. Yeah, and happy almost birthday, Chad.
Yeah, happy almost birthday, Chad.
Mm-hmm.
Also, at this time, he was two seasons in on One Tree Hill.
Oh, we love One Tree Hill.
Right. So he and Paris Hilton, who plays Paige, mm-hmm. were the two, like, top guns.
The two stars.
They were the two stars that were had some drawing power.
Okay, gotcha.
Alicia Cuthbert plays Carly.
I like her.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
Brian Van Holt is in a dual role of Beau/Vincent. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Right.
Okay.
Jared Padalecki.
What? You love him.
I do. Plays Wade. And this was 2005, and Supernatural did not start until 2005. So he wasn't super well known.
But did he have his Gilmore Girls moment yet?
He and Chad Michael Murray both starred in the Gilmore Girls.
Oh, my God. They did. I totally forgot.
Right?
Well, weird. Okay.
Yeah. John Abrams plays Dalton. Robert Richard plays Blake.
Okay.
Damon Harriman plays the roadkill driver, Lester.
Oh.
And Andy Anderson is the sheriff.
Ooh.
All right.
I'm ready. So I am so ready.
So here's the plot.
Okay.
The movie opens up in 1974 mm-hmm. as we see a couple attending to their two children, but we don't see faces. It's just like the lower half.
I like
these
that.
People, right?
Leaves a little mystery.
It does. One of the kids is being very good in his high chair, eating his Cheerios, and the other is being complete terror mm-hmm. and has to be strapped into his high chair.
Yikes.
We can see that this is a pretty usual occurrence because he has, like, scars little on his on the wee lad's wrist. We see scars, but we do not see the faces, like I said.
Right.
So let's jump ahead to 2005.
Who doesn't want to jump to 2005?
Who doesn't want to jump to 2005? Carly and her boyfriend, Wade.
Yeah.
And their friends are on their way to a football game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Carly's brother, Nick, is along for the trip, but Wade is not really thrilled that he's coming. Why?
Nick's got a fucking attitude.
Because Nick needs an attitude adjustment.
Yeah. Stop being a sourpuss, Chad Michael Murr.
As Nick and Carly argue, he makes it very clear that she is always the good twin and he is always the bad one.
Okay, they're twins.
So they're twins, yes. Right? As night falls, they are detoured off their route. Hello.
Dumb decision.
Red flag.
Number one.
Wade's car speeds up to catch up to Blake and Paige's car. And I bring this up because we're shocked as we see Paige, played by Paris Hilton.
Are you going to bring it up?
Bobbing, her head is bobbing up and down in Blake's lap. I have to bring it up. And you know why?
I did not.
So they all see and they're right. laughing and it's like a
Mom,
big joke.
It's called Roadhead.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Leanne.
She goes, great. Yes.
I know that.
Okay,
thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
My face is like beet red. Okay. So she's like, I just dropped my lipstick.
What if she did though? What if she actually dropped her lipstick?
Well, the look on her boyfriend's face would indicate
I got a lipstick for you.
That was
she's getting so red.
But anyway, this sets the tone for the typical stereotype that is Paris Hilton.
Well,
right?
And just early 2000s movies.
Yes,
exactly.
So they pull over and decide to camp for the night. They're sitting around the campfire, drinking, having a few brews, and tossing around the old football.
Pigskin.
Snakeskin, that's a pair of boots.
Sports.
I think Paris Hilton was tossing around the old snakeskin.
Jake is on fire today.
Oh, shit. I think I, like, legitimately just peed a little. Dude, I married a real fucking winner. Ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
Shit, that was good. That was good.
All right. Bouncing around the old football. The wind begins to blow. The trees begin to sway. And a stench fills the air.
Ooh.
Which is enough to curl their eyelashes.
Right, right.
Is this a red flag? No. No, of course it's not.
That's
right?
Like the 15th red fucking flag that we've gotten since the start of the movie.
But I'm not done.
Okay.
Then a big truck pulls up and sits idling and watching like Christine.
Absolutely not.
Until Rebel Nick tosses a beer bottle, cracks the headlight with his bring it on attitude.
Yeah.
Right? So the truck leaves.
Okay.
Is this a red flag? No. No, of course. Let's all get cozy in our tents and go to sleep, right?
Right.
The next morning, as they're preparing to leave, Wade's car won't start. Why? Because Wade's brand new fan belt seemed to be cut. But yet, we are not suspecting anything.
Right. Again, like, what? Was it a different time in the early 2000s? I don't know. Or
were we much more trusting?
I don't know.
Like, I've never been there.
Exactly.
All right. Paige, you know, Paris, looks like she had just rolled out of the tent looking like she was going to head down the runway.
She was glamping, Mom.
She was glamping. Mm-hmm. The dreaded smell presents itself again. And Carly decides to do a little sleuthing.
Why?
Exactly. I don't know.
But why?
As she's walking, she falls down an embankment and into a pit of rotting animal carcasses. Ew.
Ew.
So
it is
gross.
It's bad. It's gross.
And at this point, I'd be like, gotta go.
Get me home.
Get me home. Right? We're not even going to the game. Just get the hell home.
Exactly.
They meet Lester as he's dumping a fresh carcass.
Ooh.
He tells Carly and Wade that there is a town up ahead called Ambrose, and he'll be happy to give them a ride to purchase a new fan belt while the others head off to the football game.
And they just agree to it, like, okay.
And those two dumbasses get in the truck. And what's worse, the others let them go.
Right.
Okay, bye. Yeah, toodles, see you later.
What kind of friends are those? Absolutely not.
I mean, can you even feel bad for these kids with what is
about to
happen?
Not really.
Right.
Hey, be smarter than this.
Right. So they get in the truck. They enter the town, wander. It's seemingly this town looks completely empty.
Right.
They hear some music in a church, and they open up the door and stumble upon a funeral.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So here's why the town looks empty.
Oh,
all the people are in the funeral.
Because it's small.
Because it's a small town.
Gotcha.
They meet Bo, who owns the garage where they need to get the fan belt, and he agrees to help them after the funeral.
Okay.
So they continue to kind of explore the town.
Wander.
And stumble onto Trudy's House of Wax.
Hey, here is where I can't judge them, because if that was me and you, yeah, who the fuck are we kidding? We would have stumbled into the House of Wax. Are you fucking serious?
They're creepy.
They are, though.
Okay, so it's a wax museum, which itself is entirely made of wax. Now, I got to give it to them there.
Cool,
like, the entire outer structure. And I don't know. It seemed pretty hot there, and the fact that it wasn't melting is, I don't know.
It's a detail that her Virgo brain just can't get past.
Right.
Because she says it every time we watch it. That would have melted.
I know. That's right. Not only was the entire building made of wax and all of the characters inside, like you would typically see in a wax museum, but every single tchotchke,
the plates, all
made of wax.
It's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool premise.
That is a pretty cool idea.
Right.
So apparently it was a tourist attraction in the town. In its heyday.
Okay.
Okay. They meet up with Bo. He tells them that the fan belts are at his house. When they arrive, Wade asks to use the shitter, right?
Wade, really? Is now the time to pinch a loaf? Now's the time.
Now, dude.
Now?
While inside, he is attacked by Bo's disfigured brother, Vincent.
Okay.
Which is a nod to Vincent Price.
Yeah, exactly. I thought you would like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He slices Wade's Achilles tendon, and can we say that there is nothing in a horror movie that turns my stomach more than seeing the Achilles tendon cut?
It's bad.
And he knocks Wade the fuck out.
KO'd.
Meanwhile, stuck in traffic, the gang decides, no, we're not even going to go to the game.
Now
let's head back to camp. Blake tells Nick and Dalton to beat it because he and Paige are going to, as Marvin Gaye would say, get it on.
Get it on.
That's right.
Lore, I liked that.
So Nick and Dalton head to the town of Ambrose to find Wade and Carly.
It's about time.
Right? Carly now begins to become suspicious.
Oh, boy.
When Wade does not return.
Hey, maybe he had something bad for dinner. Okay.
And she realizes that the headlight on Bo's truck is shattered.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, wow.
Light bulb.
Uh-huh. As she tries to escape and get help from the locals, we realize that the entire town is staged.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in it, right?
All of the people are...
They're all wax figures.
So
when she goes
creepy cool
back into the church where all the people were from the funeral, and she realizes like it's a tape recording, they're all still there because they're wax. And when she goes to touch one of them, and she realizes that not only are they wax, but it seems like there were real people under there,
under the wax. That'll make you short your pants.
Yes. Yeah. It's very disturbing. Bo catches up with Carly.
Okay.
And, you know, snatches her.
Mm-hmm.
But Nick saves Carly.
Yes.
And they head up to the wax museum to save Wade.
Oh, well.
But it's too late.
Wade, I'm so sorry, pal.
Vincent has made Wade into a wax figure by covering him in hot wax. Now, I didn't want to go into all of the details, but this is a really, now this is a pretty good, it's very creepy.
It's a cool horror scene. It's underrated.
It is a very good horror scene.
Yes. Yeah, like when they're doing the wax and, ooh, it's so creepy.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So then Dalton has headed up to the wax museum. Right?
He's trying to find them.
And he discovers Wade tickling the ivories at the piano.
Tickling the ivories. Okay.
And is horrified to learn that Wade.
Bye-bye.
Is
bye-bye. Well.
Yeah.
He's still kind of alive.
He's still kind of alive. So what, you know, and everything I read, it was like this was the worst kill in the movie because he kind of stayed alive for a while.
Ugh.
So go watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, hello, Vincent. Bye-bye, Dalton. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Everyone's just kind of...
They're dropping like flies.
Right.
At the campsite, Paige's mm-hmm. sexy dance is interrupted and Blake is R.I.P.
Bummer.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Paige runs and what proves to be the best part of the entire movie...
I love it so much.
After doing the half-naked run, Paige gets a steel pole through the head.
Hey, I got to give it to her. She R.I.P. did good. That was a good scene.
It was a good scene.
Again, underrated.
It was a good scene.
Mm-hmm.
Took a lot of poles to the head in this movie.
Oh my God.
Jake's on fire.
Oh my gosh. How many times can I pee my pants in an episode? Woo! Tears. Hold on. Yep.
Let me regroup.
Okay.
So this movie is 2 hours. 2 hours
Holy
long.
Shit,
I
is
always
it really?
Pick them. So to make a long story very short,
mm-hmm.
Carly and Nick take down Beau and Vincent, who also happen to be twins.
I know, yeah.
That were conjoined
mm-hmm.
at the head and face. And that's
right.
why Vincent is disfigured. And we think all along through the film that he's the evil twin or
he's
the bad
not.
Twin, making the connection between
right,
Carly
right.
and Nick.
Exactly.
But it's actually Beau because they show the scars on his wrists.
Right.
Right? So we notice that Beau was the bad.
He's the bad one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The museum, they set the wax museum on fire. It starts melting. And as the sheriff attends the gruesome scene and gets the kids on their way, we realize that Beau and Vincent had a brother who was Lester, the carcass dumper.
The carcass dumper.
Who actually drove them into town.
So he knew.
It was all, yeah.
Oh, you carcass dumper.
Yeah, because on one of the things I read, it says... in the outtakes and they didn't use it was that he says while they're driving, I cut the fan belt. So insinuating that it was all planned.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know that. I kind of like that they took that out
mm-hmm.
because you were wondering the whole time, like, was this guy setting
yes,
them up? Or
yes.
I'm sorry, but I like this movie.
I know. It's a good movie. It is not anything like the original, which I absolutely love. So here's a few fun facts.
I love a fun fact.
Okay. Paris Hilton
mm-hmm.
was nominated and won a Razzie Award for Worst Supporting Actress and Worst Actress of the Decade for
what?
Her brilliant performance.
Okay, listen,
yeah.
I didn't think it was that bad.
No.
Cover some slack, okay? I didn't think it was that bad at all.
Warner Brothers actually granted her permission to sell T-shirts that read on May 6th, Watch Paris Die. To promote the movie.
That's hilarious.
Was like the big grabber.
Was her that, kill scene?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Funny, right?
Okay.
Jared Padalecki and Paris Hilton appear in an episode of Supernatural centered around a wax museum.
Really?
In which they reference the movie in the episode. Yeah, and I actually did it for a Patreon. James Dean's car.
Oh, yes.
In the wax museum.
Yes.
Gandhi and,
yes,
and Abe Lincoln.
That's a good episode.
Yeah. This is the third remake distributed by Dark Castle Entertainment.
Holy shit.
The other two were House on Haunted Hill and 13 Ghosts.
Oh,
yay.
Okay, that makes sense. Because
I love,
there's something about that era of horror films that I just love.
I know. And they were decent remakes, all of them, I think.
Cheesy, but good.
All right, and we cannot end the fun facts without saying, if you own this on DVD and have watched... The Interview.
Oh my, I forgot. I totally forgot.
My favorite. It's both of our favorite part.
Yeah, they interview, who is it? Paris Hilton, Jared Padalecki, and Chad Michael Murray.
And Carly.
Okay, yeah.
The girl
who
plays Carly.
Oh my God. Chad Michael Murray is just sitting there the whole time looking like, if I don't get away from these dumbasses, I'm gonna, and it's fucking hilarious. It's so awkward. It's so awkward.
It's so awkward, but he looks like so annoyed to be there. The other three are like
having fun.
Making no sense, having a good time, sitting together on the couch. He's over by himself with his legs crossed, looking in the other direction like, gosh,
get me out of here.
Where's my agent? Did I agree to this?
We mention it all the time.
Oh my gosh, it's so hilarious. All right, so here's my lesson.
Yes.
The history of wax museums.
Lore.
What?
Fun.
Right? How have we not? I did not know any of this.
Very magical, very spooky.
Right?
Yeah.
Creepy. All right, a wax museum, sometimes referred to as a wax works.
Okay.
Was typically a collection of wax sculptures depicting famous people from history as well as celebrities of the day.
Right.
Usually the statues would be posed in lifelike ways, wearing real clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Many wax museums contained a section dubbed the Chamber of Horrors, in which you could see more gruesome exhibits.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The wax museum and their life-size statues grew out of European funeral practices during the Middle Ages.
What?
Yes.
What do you mean?
It was customary at royal funerals to carry a fully dressed corpse on the top of the coffin.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
This tended to be a big problem in hot weather.
Stop.
Resulting in, as you can imagine, some gross consequences. Right?
Ooh, yeah.
So it was then decided that a wax effigy, right, which is a life-size sculpture of a specific person, would be substituted.
Okay, but wouldn't the wax melt?
Again, right?
Right? She's like, again,
maybe
with
it just
wax.
Wouldn't smell as bad. I don't know. Okay. Whatever. So that would be substitute, and they would be wearing the person's actual clothing.
Creative.
Right?
Yeah.
But this, because, you know, nothing else was showing, it meant that only the head and hands really needed to be made of wax.
I see, yeah.
When the funeral was over, these effigies were often displayed by the tomb or in the church. This turned into a popular attraction for people to visit, in which they often paid an admittance fee.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That is very interesting.
Right?
I had absolutely no idea.
Right.
Huh. Of just random, like, wax?
Like, usually it would be people.
Oh, you said, like, royal.
Royal.
You did. Okay.
Yeah, royalty at this time.
Oh, so there would be a draw to come in and see.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. But as I was doing my research, there were like traveling shows and stuff like that. But the most famous name in wax museums is none other than Madame Tussauds.
Yes. Me and Jake went there on our honeymoon when we visited New York.
Did you?
Ooh, it's creepy.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
All right. So Madame Tussauds is born Marie Grossholtz, which I probably did not say right, in Strasbourg in 1761.
Whoa.
Some say into a family of public executioners.
Ooh,
right?
Okay.
Marie's mother worked for a physician and anatomist named Dr. Philippe Curtius, who was a skilled creator of medical wax models used in anatomy classes in lieu of real cadavers.
Whoa.
Right?
Okay.
So he began teaching Marie the skill, I read in several places, at the age of 6.
Oh.
And she was a natural in the art of sculpture.
Okay.
She actually even became an art tutor to King Louis the 16th's sister. She was deeply enmeshed in the royalty and, you know, politics.
Right. Okay.
But shortly after, the French Revolution began.
Okay.
And Marie began making plaster casts and death masks of those who had been publicly beheaded. And many of these people were her friends.
Okay, could you remind me what a death mask is?
So a death mask is once somebody dies, they make a cast of their face.
Right.
Once they're dead, usually
Vincent Price had one.
Right, usually of wax or like plaster of Paris.
Okay, I have seen one. Yeah, yes.
Right, and they became popular, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what a death mask is.
Okay.
At one point, Marie and her mom are put into prison, and upon release, she was forced to prove allegiance to the revolution by making death masks of the executed nobles, which were then paraded through the streets of Paris.
Whoa.
One such person was Marie Antoinette.
Okay.
And according to Tussaud's memoirs, she sat with bloody heads on her knees, making impressions of their features.
What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Okay, that took a morbid turn.
Right? Very morbid beginnings. Woo. When Dr. Curtius died, he left his entire wax collection to Marie.
Okay.
And she began a traveling show for her exhibits.
Traveling show. That's very cool.
Mm-hmm. In 1795, she married Francois Tussaud, right?
You're what? Nailing it.
Am I?
Yeah.
Giving her the name that her museums are known by today.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
So she opened her first museum on Baker Street in London in 1835, with her main attraction being a chamber of horrors.
Really?
Which housed many of the creepy death masks that she created.
Very cool.
Her museum became a major attraction and is still going strong today.
I was just going to ask you.
There, you know, a ton of wax museums came out, but not many survived.
Okay.
And she is still still going strong. Wow. I mean, it's been sold several times and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it's a major attraction today. It includes not only historical figures, but also celebrities, sports heroes, and famous murderers. The London location houses 300 statues, and there are 26 locations throughout the world.
Holy moly.
Yeah. By today's standards, it is considered an honor to get an invitation for a sitting.
I did know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They take up to 250 different measurements of you before you can be immortalized in the wax.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess that makes sense.
That would be time-consuming, right?
Yeah.
So that's Madame Tussaud.
I love that.
One other wax museum that seems to have, you know, still remained is the Hollywood Wax Museum. So that was worth a noting.
Okay.
It's still around. Fun. And there are four locations, Hollywood, Branson, Pigeon Forge, and Myrtle Beach.
Ooh. Oh, I did know there was one Myrtle Beach.
Yeah. Did you hit that one?
I did not, but I saw it when I was there. So, oh, fun.
Obviously, maybe not as expert on the wax. I have to show you one I pulled up.
Oh, no. Is it bad?
There was one, and I was like, who is that? And it was Nicolas Cage in National Treasure.
Oh,
and
it my
does
God.
Not even look like Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage has made his way in again. Oh, my God.
It was so funny. I have to show you that picture. But that is my little lesson on wax museums. And
that is seriously fascinating.
Right?
I mean, I know I, like, follow a lot of, like, mortuary science people on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And they do the, like, you know, the mortuary wax and sculpting. So I, like, know that that's, but to go back. And say, wow, that's like, whoa,
wow,
that's wild,
right?
Very cool.
Yeah,
I did know, I forget who, I want to say it was Jenna Marbles on YouTube,
okay,
like did a vlog of her sitting to get measured for like a statue,
okay,
and it was bonkers.
I can imagine
like the shit that they have to do. I could be totally wrong on what YouTuber that was, but
wow. Wow.
It's very cool.
It was fascinating.
I would recommend going. Jake, did you like it when we went?
Oh, I had a great time.
It was very cool.
I was at the one in Canada.
Yeah. Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very fascinating. What a talent. Like, such a unique talent, the sculpting and the...
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Wow.
Like you can, I mean, if you go back, I'm linking a bunch of the things down below, but if you go back, there were several fires, you know, and can you imagine?
Really?
So from the original House of Wax, you know, I mean, it's almost like a total loss. They had
your
to rebuild.
Your life's work. Just gone. Yeah. Oh, gosh. So that did actually happen, the fires.
Yeah, I mean, a fire actually did happen, I think, once or twice.
That's interesting.
So there were several, you know, calamities that, you know, ruined a lot of her original molds and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that could have inspired the house.
Wow.
Yeah. Very interesting topic.
Yes.
Different. Both of ours were different.
Different.
I hope everyone liked it because I have fun when we can, like, veer off a little bit.
Yeah.
And now... Look at all the things we learned about wax statue. Who would have thought?
I had no idea.
Love it so much.
No idea. Yeah.
And love that movie. Totally cheesy. You have to watch it, especially around Halloween. It's a great watch.
It's a good one.
Don't take it too seriously, but go watch it.
Just have fun with it. It's fun. Get to see all those, you know, cool kids before they were superstars.
Superstars. Yeah. Love it. Up Toppler.
All
very cool.
Yes. Good one, Lee.
All right. You want to do killer quotes of the week?
Let's do it.
All right. Okay, mine is, not to burst your bubble, but the earth is not the center of the universe. And that is from the documentary.
Nice.
Ooh, ah.
Well, mine is from the original House of Wax.
Okay.
No matter how much we lose, you must still go on living.
Hmm. Wow, thanks, Laura.
Hello.
Wow, that was oddly specific. Thank you for that last punch to the gut. All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
I couldn't find anything on the remake because it was all off color.
I dropped my chapstick. God, Lori, you couldn't have gone with something like that. No, I'm just playing. That was good.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
Well, that was a funny as hell episode. Someone write down all of Jake's jokes in this because, whoo.
Hilarious.
That was a good one, babe. You were on today. He's like, now I'm silent again. All right, well.
I've said what I've come to say.
That was fun. We love you all.
Yes.
We'll catch you next week.
Catch us next week. TTFN.
Cut, print, check the gate, moving on.